You're listening to Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, featuring Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President of Public Policy at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. And now, here's Gary.
Hi, this is Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President for Public Policy at the James Dobson Family Institute. Welcome to our weekly podcast, Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom. I'm glad you're with us. I'd like you to be here every week and tell your friends about us. Well, if you've been listening recently, you know enough about my ideas and my priorities. I love talking about American history and Christian history. We can learn so much that has been forgotten. I'm afraid that this country, day after day, is being deprived of our own history, particularly the role of Christianity in so much of what has made America an exceptional country. Now, here's a recent example. Late last year, former astronaut Frank Borman passed away at the age of 96. I wonder how many people will even recognize the name. He was one of three astronauts that flew on Apollo 8 that was launched in late 1968 and orbited the moon. This was the first time men had done this. Now, it was a risky endeavor. NASA told the astronauts that they thought there was only a 50-50 chance that the astronauts would survive the launch, orbiting, and return to Earth. And in 1968, when this was happening, we were in the middle of a space race with communist Russia. So this was a big, big deal. The reporting about Borman's passing last year, it was really low-key, and it sadly and completely ignored an event that happened during this mission that was amazing when Borman and the other astronauts were circling the moon. On the ninth orbit around the moon by the astronauts, it fell on Christmas Day. And Borman, along with Jim Lovell and Bill Anders, were scheduled to speak to the world from the Apollo 8 spacecraft. It was estimated that a billion people would hear the broadcast from space. NASA told Borman to try to come up with something positive to say. A lot of people are going to be listening. Well, look, that was a pretty tough assignment. 1968 was not a great year for the United States. In fact, 1968 was a lot like the time we're living through right now. Tragically, Martin Luther King Jr. had been assassinated. He was at the top of his civil rights leadership career. He was telling the whole country what the solution to racism was. The solution was recognizing that we were all made in the image of God. And since we were made in the image of God, we all had dignity and value and worth, and we should treat each other accordingly. And not long after Martin Luther King's assassination, Robert Kennedy was assassinated. These two events together shocked the nation, and it really magnified the divisions in the nation. In 1968, well, that was the year we also lost 17,000 of our armed forces in Vietnam. It was the biggest total in one year of any year in the war up until then, and no year after 1968 had a death total as big as the year 1968. So Borman felt like this was a really big deal assignment. What do you say under these circumstances, speaking from an orbiting of the moon to the people of the earth? He was perplexed about it. He spent a lot of time thinking about it. I wouldn't be surprised if he prayed. He was a Christian. He thought about at one point that maybe he should just say, the astronaut should just say, peace on earth to everybody. That would be appropriate on Christmas Eve. But then he worried that, well, maybe somebody will hear that and think that he was making a political statement about the Vietnam War, which also divided America. So he decided that was not the right way to go. Eventually, he started getting advice from friends in Washington, D.C. One individual he asked for help was a guy named Joseph Layton, who worked somewhere in the federal government. But he was stumped too. Layton's wife, whose name was Christine, well, she lived in France during World War II. And as a teenager, was a part of the French resistance fighting movement against Hitler's occupation forces. And when she heard about this dilemma of what the astronaut should say, she came up with an idea that led to an amazing moment in space. She said, well, why don't they just go back to the beginning? Just read the beginning of the book of Genesis. And that's what the astronauts ended up doing. Bill Anders began by saying, we are now approaching lunar sunrise. And for all the people on Earth, the crew of Apollo 8 has a message. And then Bill Anders read verses 1 to 4. He was followed by Jim Lovell, who read verses 5 to 8. And then Frank Borman ended by reading verses 9 to 10. Now, here's a recording of what 1 billion people in 60 nations heard from space on Christmas Eve a little over 55 years ago in 1968. The audio has quite a bit of static. Technology was not where it is today, but just listen. You will be able to hear the words read from the King James Bible. By the way, these verses were printed on a special fireproof tablet.
We are now approaching lunar sunrise, and for all the people back on Earth, the crew of Apollo 8 has a message that we would like to send to you. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day.
God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. God saw that it was good. And from the crew of Apollo 8, we close with good night, good luck, a Merry Christmas, and God bless all of you.
Well, even 55 years ago, the atheist forces in America that are at war with Christianity were active and slowly growing in strength. And so while this reading of the beginning of Genesis was widely popular in the United States and was hailed by everybody as a wonderful thing to do as you're orbiting the moon, the atheists were not happy. One of their leaders was a woman already fairly well-known and not well-liked named Madeline Murray O'Hare. She was the founder of a group called American Atheists, and she sued NASA, alleging a violation of the separation of church and state. Where have we heard that from before? She cited the First Amendment to the Constitution that does prohibit the establishment of a religion by the government. But no religion was being established. No one was being forced to worship in a certain way. Nobody even had to listen to the broadcast. The Apollo 8 astronauts were simply exercising their right to religious freedom, something that's also guaranteed by the First Amendment. Nonetheless, Madeline O'Hare rallied her troops. She generated 30,000 letters of complaint to NASA. She filed a lawsuit in the federal courts. But you know, in 1968, even with all the problems in the country, it was a different America than the America we have now. What the atheists didn't count on was what the American Christian Church would do. the churches rallied together and they started a group called Stand with the Astronauts that supported the astronauts reading the Bible. And they generated not 30,000 letters, not 70,000 letters, not 100,000 letters. They generated 8 million letters of support from American Christians on the reading of Genesis from space. The federal courts rejected atheist O'Hare's lawsuit, correctly in my view. In fact, they didn't even bother to give it a real hearing. Now, this is an incredible story. It's inspirational. It was an historic moment. It inspired Americans on Christmas Eve at a very difficult time. It was a reminder of how often in our history the people of the United States have turned to the God of the Bible, the God of all creation. And it demonstrated that American Christians were prepared to defend the public presentation of their faith. And I happen to think, I can't prove it, but I think the evidence is pretty good, that for all of those reasons I just cited, well, those things help explain why, when Frank Borman died in November of last year, this incredible story of Christmas Eve 1968 was virtually ignored. You see, the powerful forces attempting to marginalize Christianity in America, telling us that we have no right to promote our faith in the public square, they want us to be demoralized, quiet, and on the defensive. Now, at JDFI, we believe the only hope America has is if the church in America and followers of Jesus Christ boldly make the case for faith, family, and freedom. And as we do that in this important year in America, let's remember Frank Borman and those astronauts who 55 years ago read from the Bible in space and shocked and inspired a nation. We can use them as an example to follow as we try to inspire America today to defend faith, family, and freedom. Well, thanks for being with us at this week's edition of Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom here at JDFI. See you next week.
Subscribe to Gary Bauer's Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom where you find your favorite podcasts. Just hit the subscribe button to ensure you receive every episode.